This is Drop Love Through Locker Doors, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Here Just Roar and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham and Annie Munson, with additional tags for pre-canon, post-canon, middle school, flashbacks. Chrissy Cunningham lives. Annie Munson has a crush on Chrissy Cunningham. Oh boy, do we. Garfield is also here. POV Chrissy Cunningham. Mention of Chrissy's mom being a grade A bitch. Annie Munson is a sweetheart. But more than that, he is a besotted dork. April, 1981. And then, you won't believe this, Jessica gets up in front of the firing squad and it ends, Debbie says, shaking her head emphatically. She looks extremely put out, and Chrissy can't blame her. Chrissy's not allowed to watch soap. Her mother thinks it's filthy trash. But Debbie has faithfully filled her in on every episode since they were 9 years old, when she'd snuck out of her room to watch from the staircase above her parents' heads one night. They're 12 now, and Chrissy thinks she's plenty old enough to choose what she can watch on TV after school, but her mother feels otherwise. So Debbie has to keep her informed. She even has a notebook where she writes down details she doesn't want to forget to tell Chrissy the next morning. Chrissy loves her for it. Did they shoot her? She asks, wrestling with the lock on her locker. It's tricky, because she thinks that her locker used to belong to a boy 2 grades above her, and Chrissy is very sure he broke the lock on purpose. It's a good thing neither of them rides the bus home. They definitely have missed it by now. Chrissy is starting to worry about maybe getting locked in the building, which she knows won't happen because some of the teachers are still here, and she can hear the track team running laps in the gym, but she can't shake the feeling of wrongness that comes with being in the school after hours. Debbie leans against the wall beside her, notebook and science textbook clutched to her chest. I don't know. There was a bang, and that was it. She complains. I can't believe I have to wait all summer for answers. Chrissy giggles to herself as she finally tugs the door open. Debbie is very dramatic about her stories, and Chrissy just knows she's gonna have to listen to her theories for the next 4 months. She doesn't mind, though. Oh, hey, before I forget, my mom got the pictures from the talent show developed, if your mom wants any of the doubles. Debbie shuffles her armload around to swing her backpack in front of her, digging into the front pocket. She even got your round off, but it's pretty blurry. Chrissy chews on her lip. Mom won't like our skirts, she confesses quietly. And suddenly the empty hallway is so, so loud around them. She said mine made my thighs look big, and I didn't tell her we didn't change them like I said we would. I don't want her to see. Debbie, one hand fishing for the packet of pictures, freezes for a moment. She huffs an annoyed snort through her nose and looks up with hard eyes that Chrissy knows aren't meant for her. Bullshit, she snaps, zipping up the pocket with a force that would have broken a lesser Jansport. She stuffs her notebook and science book into her backpack without an ounce of grace and flips it back around. The skirts are fine, your thighs are fine, and your mom is a bitch. Chrissy nearly yelps when she says it. She couldn't even call her mother a bitch in the safety of her own head without feeling supremely guilty. Debbie opens the canary yellow Kodak packet and finds the split in the stack where the photos duplicate. She hands them to Chrissy. And Chrissy can tell she's still fuming, but she pretends like she doesn't see it. Debbie doesn't like the way Chrissy's mom is sometimes, but it's not like Chrissy can do much about it. Chrissy juggles the stack of photos with one hand as she grips for her math textbook, dropping it into her bag between her feet. Something flutters to the ground as she does so, and curiously, Chrissy leans over to pick it up. Debbie squawks as Chrissy straightens up, sticking her hand out to prevent Chrissy's head from smacking the metal corner of her locker door. "Watch it, Space Cadet! You're gonna brain yourself," she says. And Chrissy gives her a sheepish grin, photos in one hand, and a folded piece of notebook paper in the other. "What's that?" "I don't know. It was in my locker," she says. And Debbie takes it from her to unfold it. It can't be from any of her girlfriends, because they always cut off the rough edges the spiral leaves behind when they tear out the page. And on top of that, they would have written her name on it. Shelley likes to use bubble letters, but Kim and Nikki write in cursive. Debbie comes to the same conclusion. A grin spreads across her face as she smooths out the paper to show Chrissy. "It's from a boy," she sing-songs, giggling as Chrissy can feel a blush spreading across her nose. "Ooh, that's cute, I think." There's a kitty drawn on the paper. A cutesy, cartoony orange cat with a big red heart held in his paws. It's a little bit ugly, but she thinks it might be Garfield. Or Heathcliff, maybe? No, definitely Garfield. It kind of looks like the boy may have traced it off of a card, but given up halfway through and just winged it. Chrissy loves it. She says so, and Debbie wrinkles her nose in amusement. "You would," she says, teasing. She flips the paper over. "He didn't sign it," she huffs in disappointment. "Well, I wouldn't have put my name on this either." Chrissy bumps her with her shoulder as she picks up her bag from the floor. "Be nice. I think it's sweet. And it was meant for me, not you." She plucks the paper from Debbie's fingers and folds it back up with one hand to tuck it into her back pocket. She turns her attention back to the stack of pictures. "Did your mom take any of that band? The eighth graders?" she asks. And Debbie gives her a look. "Your new best friends?" she asks sardonically. Chrissy slams her locker shut and rolls her eyes. "I just told them I liked their song," she says, and sticks out her tongue. Debbie returns the gesture right back. "You liked it too. You're just a big chicken and didn't want to tell them." Debbie makes a loud "pakaw" noise that echoes down the empty hallways, leaving Chrissy a mess of giggles as they exit the building. And when she gets home, Chrissy pins the kitty cat drawing to her corkboard carefully and sits down at her desk to sort through the pictures. She doesn't think about it much over the next couple of years. Not until Eddie Munson is sitting in her desk chair and won't stop staring at it. She snaps her fingers for the second time, sitting crisscross on her bed with her English homework spread out in front of her. "Eddie, my room can't be that interesting. I don't want you to flunk, you know."
Anything is more interesting than whatever shit Macbeth is whining about right now," Eddie says, tapping the spine of his book against his knee to emphasize his point. "Especially your room."
He does kind of have a point. It's the first time he's ever been in her house, and she remembers how interested she'd been in his room the first time she'd seen it. Well, seen it properly, after the world was finished ending. She wonders if he'd felt the same way she does, nervous about the way his gaze keeps flitting about, like he can't decide where to look first. But his eyes keep getting drawn back to the corkboard on her wall, and she thinks it's because there's a picture there of her and Deb's beach trip last summer, arms wound around each other, and her in a skimpy bikini her mother still doesn't know she owns. The thought that he's looking at it is making her stomach swoop. But then,
That is a fucking ugly cat, Chrissy. Chrissy points at him indignantly with her pencil. It is not! Eddie grins at her. And for the life of her, she can't decipher it. That's the worst Garfield I've ever seen. Whoever gave that to you has shit art skills. Chrissy reaches back to grab for one of her pillows and whips it at his head. Eddie catches it easily, the grin on his face not slipping for even a second as he drops it to the floor. He even has the nerve to laugh when she sticks her tongue out at him. How do you know I didn't draw it? She asks, and knows she's pouting. You feel so bad calling my drawing shitty. And to her surprise, pink dusts across the bridge of Eddie's nose and up to his ears. He fidgets with a loose thread on his jeans. Just a guess, he mutters. I like that cat, Chrissy insists, and can't figure out why Eddie suddenly looks like he'd rather be anywhere but here, when he's just spent the last half hour looking perfectly at home in her room. I don't know who drew it, but they made it for me, and that's what counts, she says definitively, flipping a page in her notes. Eddie is very quiet for a long moment. It sinks in, and the silence starts to make her skin itch. When she looks up, worried that her playful scolding has actually managed to get to him, all Chrissy can see is a mass of dark hair, Eddie's face buried in his hands as he hunches over in her desk chair with his elbows on his knees. She's about to stumble off her bed in alarm, concerned that something is wrong, when Eddie groans, scrubbing his hands down his face.
I can draw you a better one,
he grumbles.
Christ, it looked bad back then, but it's worse now.
Chrissy blinks. You? And Eddie won't look at her, his face very pink as he stares at her floor.
Yes, me,
he says, his expression deeply embarrassed.
I thought you were fucking with me. You really didn't know?
Chrissy shakes her head, her heart in her throat. She can't help the delighted smile that creeps across her face. You drew my ugly Garfield?
Oh, now she admits it's ugly.
He doesn't get to finish his complaint, because Chrissy has slipped off her bed to stand in front of him. Eddie sees her socked feet, but she doesn't give him time to react, sliding her fingers under his jaw to make him look up at her. Thank you, she says softly. He's my favorite, Eddie. Really. She didn't think he could get much redder, but she gives him the grace of ignoring it, ducking down to kiss him carefully. There's a thought to what might happen if her mother catches her in her room, door shut, with a boy, but Chrissy doesn't give much of a damn at the moment. She pulls away, just enough to murmur against Eddie's mouth. Don't you dare stare that drawing, Eddie Munson. I'll fight you for him.
You'd win, too,
Eddie whispers back, and Chrissy presses back in again. She can feel him laughing, but she doesn't mind. The end. Author's notes. Debbie isn't ever going to get an answer for all her soap questions. It got canceled after that episode. Pray for Debbie. I love you. I miss you. Life is very hard right now, but I am trying. Reader's notes. I am thinking very hard about trying to freehand draw my own Garfield as the cover art for this podfic. If this cover looks vaguely aesthetically pleasing, I didn't go for it. If it looks like a scribble by two left-handed monkeys, I attempted to freehand draw Garfield. Not sure yet. Reader's notes come before the Podfic cover art. Anyway, thank you to Here Just Roar for having blanket permission to Podfic and writing things that make my heart smile. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.